to get ready. Amen. I'm still fired up. I felt the power of God. I sat up here and went through two paper towels. I didn't waste time with clinics. I've got through two paper towels, praise God, and might go through another one. I just feel very emotional this morning. I know it's the Spirit of God dealing with me. It's easy to know. It says when God's Spirit intervenes with your spirit, and you'll know that. It's not somebody else. It's not one of your neighbors. It's the Spirit of God. I want to share with you a few verses of Scripture. Shana and Samantha, I want to close this service out, but God will make the way. I'll make the way. Or He'll make the way. And I'm not going to sing it, so y'all be ready. Okay? And we'll close the service out with that song just in a few minutes. I want to look at the 2 Peter, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Peter chapter 1, and let's talk about the Word of God. You know, I'm thankful to say that this God has given to us, and we have a printed copy of it, and I'm so thankful for that. I was talking to a man the other day, and he said, well, it just depends on the way you interpret it. You know, I thought a lot about that. A lot of people say, well, you'd interpret this two or three different ways. My Bible's written in English, and I understand that. I don't need to interpret.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. You know, that's where they're trying to say, well, I interpret it this way. That's usually when they're trying to get around saying God's right and they're wrong. Amen. That's what we're up against this day. You know, they try to make it so they'll sound right, or they'll make it think, well, it's our way. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's Word is sure. And this, I want to share the truth with you today. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So he's talking to the saved people, amen? I get thinking a lot about that. We spend time talking to lost people. But God put a lot of this book in mind that he wanted to talk to the saved people. He wants to talk to his children. You know, it's a good thing to go down and talk to a strange group of kids, you know, sometimes. You may not know them all, but how much better it is sometimes to sit down and talk to your own children. And I believe that's the way God wanted this to done today, that he just wanted to talk wild to his children. So listen up. It said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so we start into this, and we're going to start into the promises. You know, I said a minute ago, we have a promise that God has allowed the church in this day and time the power that we can present the gospel to a lost people and they can receive salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Have you ever thought about the power that God allowed you to have by coming into this place and being part of this congregation today? You've got a power beyond power. And verse 4 said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And not only we have this promise that he gives this to us, but he says he always makes a way of escape, that we can get out of this corruption that is in the world through lust. And I'm thinking about the promises of God that comes to save people. You know, we ought to be the happiest, most rejoicing people that's ever been. There ought to be a time you can sit in the house of God and not raise your hand or holler hallelujah, you know? But I'm telling you, we've been schooled out of that. Schooled out of it, you know, by a world that we've let infiltrate our church and say you need to be quiet and reverent. Praise God, I'd be reverent and have both hands in there. I believe I can even drive kind of and have both hands in there. You have to catch it, your knee every now and then, because you get to shouting, you ain't got time to pull over. You know, I got worried about that. Georgia says you can't have a cell phone in your hand. What if your hands are in there? They'll arrest me, and y'all best get me out. I'm serious. Y'all ever went down the road and get a skid in the spirit and your hands get up in the air? It's because the world school is out of it. God teaches us to lift people holding hands to him. Amen. We're taught that. But yet, do we do it? No, we're schooled out of it. He gives a list of all the things he can add to faith. You know, faith is a wonderful thing. But he don't want to just have faith. He gives a whole list. You can go down through this to verse 5, 6, and 7 and read all these things. It said you get virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and kindliness and charity. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we can have these things plus faith? Isn't that good that not only we have faith, but we have all these other things to our advantage? And it talks about this down in verse 8. It said, "For these things, if these things be in you and abound, they make ye that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It makes you a winner. Praise God. You know, it makes you a winner. Ain't nobody wants to be losers, are they? Huh? I'm not talking to a bunch of losers. I'm talking to a bunch of winners because they're saved by the grace of God. They're children of God. And so that makes them a winner. And it said, if you do these things, he said, you'll never be barren or unfruitful. That things you do is going to multiply. You're going to have an advantage on the world around us. And I preach advantage God. Amen. I do it all the time. It goes a little bit farther. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, so it starts describing one way and then the other way. In verse 10 it said, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." And so we start talking about making your calling sure. You see this? Diligent and sure, that we have diligence to make sure our election and calling is sure. And so when we start talking about this, you know, there's a lot of times in life I talk to people and they say, "Well, I think I'm saved," or, "Well, I hope I'm saved." Let me tell you, there's no chance. I know I'm saved.
Amen.
Because I have complied with what God says I have to do to be saved.
Amen.
So this baby might, people say, "Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody can know for sure." Talked to a guy the other day. He's telling me, "I don't think anybody knows till they stand judgment. My past judgment today, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. He died for me, and judgment was passed."
Amen.
Amen. I've got news for this guy. He better look a little deeper in the book.
Right.
You can know. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I'll start in verse 8. "And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God had given unto us, eternal life." You notice what it said? This is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. This is so you might know. It goes farther. It said, "Given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And so we start falling back to Jesus, the Son of God, Savior of the world, the one that died on the cross for you. You remember that guy? You remember him that spread his hands out and they nailed him down and lifted him up and he died for the sins of the world? We need to remember that. And so this is a record that God has given to us that we can have eternal life. So what God gives me is not come and gone, or I'm not going to lose it tomorrow. It's eternal. Thank God. If I had to keep it, I'd probably lose it. Be worse than junior car keys. Amen. Had to pick on somebody. But it said, that is the record. It said, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So it's an easy thing. It's very simple. You've got Jesus and life, or you don't have Jesus and you're dead. I've known a lot of dead men walking. I mean, they're alive in the flesh. They might work a job, father a family, and take drive a car. All these things, their spirits are dead. Spirits are dead because they don't have Jesus. That's the two choices. You can be alive with Jesus or be dead without. Spirits alive. That's what God talks to us about. That's what he wants us to do. It said, verse 13, it said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, why was these written? That you may know you have eternal life. There shouldn't be any doubt. There shouldn't be any wonder. There shouldn't be just a hope. There should be an absolute positive. I have eternal life. He's written all these things, letting you know that you either got Jesus and alive, or you don't have Jesus and he's dead. And he said that you may have eternal life. He's written all these things to let us know. And it said that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's not to keep you from believing, but it's that you might believe. I've asked a lot of things of God this morning. First, I asked God to put me in the spirit and let me be ready for church. Amen. Let me be ready to go to meeting. And I'm not talking meeting with y'all. I'm glad you're here. But the most important thing is God's here. And his spirit's here. It's present with us today. Without a doubt. Without any wonder whatsoever. And verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He heard us. He heard me this morning when I said, God, just put me in the spirit. God, put me in the place that I'm ready to go to meet that. I'll open my heart. I'll open the door. I'll open my soul that you might fill me. That's what we're seeking in church today. We're not under routine. We're not under schedule. I'm not in that anymore. You know, we kind of do it this way, but if it gets out of order.
Yeah, you know, I sat here and worried about getting up this morning. I thought, well, that'd be out of order. If you're in the spirit and leadership of God, it's never out of order. Church may not agree with it, but as long as God does, who cares about the rest of the people? I'm up here to please God this morning. That's my desire. Verse 15, and we know that he hear us, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desired of him. Those folks that came this morning and prayed to turn this service over to God, to put it in his will, not ours, to lose control. You know, we're control freaks. We like to think we control everything. But if we start controlling this church, we have got a problem. Amen? Samantha and Shane, and y'all start coming this way. But we've got a problem if we control it and let God not control it. I want to let God control this end of this service. They're going to... Sister's going to come up and sing this song. I want you to listen to it. He'll make the way. You know, there's a lot of things that hinder us from doing what God had asked us to do. There's a lot of people here, sat here this morning, and was disobedient to God because God asked you to do something and you failed to do it. And if you want to go to James chapter 4 and 17, it said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it's sin. So there need to be a lot of repenting in here this morning. I feel it to all my heart. You're up here saying, well, he's judging us. I'm judging myself. God will judge you as they sing this song. He'll put it in your heart. I'm telling you, if you didn't do it and knew to do it, it's sin. You need to repent of it. Don't carry it out of here. Get rid of it. God can handle it. God can handle it. Y'all go ahead and sing. I'm not sitting down. I'm going to walk up and down the aisleways and just rejoice and praise God. Anybody that wants to join me, you can fall out and with us, make a laugh for everything. My wife walks in here every Sunday morning. She might get up and join
me. You need a way out. You've been trapped in that trial. Full of sorrow and doubt. You saw a trickle of sunlight. Make a way. place to go. Pharaoh's army was closing in, and they'd soon overflow.
Got a few people up here praying. Amen. Aren't you glad you belong to a God that'd make a way through whatever you face today? Whatever it might be. He's got it. Just let go. He's got it. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I tell you, this reminds me the other day. I don't remember where I was at, but I walked by somewhere and there's some pecans laying there and I picked one up. That's the hardest pecan I ever saw in my life. I thought for a while it might be a hickory nut. And I just kept cracking on it and kept peeling and kept cracking on it until I got the goody out of it. Amen. Church service ought to be that. If you ain't got the goody out of it, just keep cracking. Amen. Don't give up. Just keep digging at it. Just keep cracking it. Amen. I'm going away rejoicing today. I hope everybody else here can. Hope you can go away and say, I've been to church. I've been to meeting. I felt the presence of God. That's what it ought to be every time we come in the house, Lord. Y'all stand, we're going to be dismissed. Lord, we truly thank you, God, for being a God that will make a way. We face circumstances in life that without your help, without your promise, there's no way we could get through them. God, we depend on you each and every day. As we rise up in the morning till we lay down at night, we trust your power and your deliverance from the things of this world that could harm us and hurt us and make our lives miserable. God, we thank you for being that God that cares for us and loves us enough that you look down and you see our need. Father, we're a very needy people. You know that from experience that we're always in need of something. God, we're praying for you to help in this situation. Father, the people that brought problems in here today, I'm praying that, God, you'll show them the way that you're going to take care of it and fix it. Father, not always in our way, but always in your will. That's what we pray for. God, thank you for the service today, and thank you for the good attendance, and thank you for the Spirit and you being here with us. God, that we just open the door and let you continually come into us. God, we praise you. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.